Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston Sports Radio, John and Lance.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ, we're all back together. How was your weekend?
I was good. Had a good Father's Day. Lost the ping pong championship in the house. Alec was a huge favorite. I made him an 800 favorite, but unfortunately, I got
how beat you at ping pong.
Oh yeah, we can't beat him. Once one person gets like you can just tell it's just too.
Yeah,
like every once in a while you might win something, but
yeah. No.
Too hard. He can smash everything.
Yeah, JT was the same way. Yeah, same way. About ninth grade, he started just crushing, and I was like, we're not playing anymore. That's it. I'm done playing you. He started beating me in basketball about eighth grade, too.
I wouldn't let that happen, but now with my the ankle injury that I had, the awful whenever I got hit by a car.
Well, you don't play him anymore.
Car.
One-on-ones?
Fell down a... Every once in a while,
but you didn't get hit by a car, and you didn't what? You didn't fall down a mountain. You weren't running down some thief that stole a purse. None of those things.
Whatever it was, all I know is this much:
fell off a ladder, you slipped down a ditch,
yep.
And you tripped over a curb.
Dislocated shoulder, Liz Frank, grade one, and second degree sprain
None
that required
those
a cast.
Things were anything that you.
I
should...
was just thinking, man. Before 2020, I was pretty healthy. It all started when I fell off that ladder. And it's just been a run of bad luck.
No, your foot was your foot. Yeah. Tripping over the curb was first.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah. I was back from that. Like, that one wasn't. I was okay from that one. And the shoulder actually isn't a problem. This ankle, this is a problem. It's a problem right now. So this one's not going away. I had a good one. We did the steaks from Pete's Fine Meats, and the kids all loved that fillets, so they were happy. So we did the steak and the bacon wrapped quail. Although I end up eating most of that, I noticed they're not the bacon wrapped quail and snacks. I thought he ate it. He likes to just peel the bacon off of it and just eat all the bacon off of that.
Yeah, well, that's
I'm like I get it, but it's not made for you to just peel off bacon and just. This is I'm not making bacon for you right now on the grill.
Well, that's you just did that. Yes,
and I watched you know, there's no NBA finals anymore, so I watched Astros finish Peaky Blinders and spent, you know, me and the kids, my daughter, we played Speed yesterday with the cards, you know, the playing cards. And then we watched Ryland Freeman have a day. Ryland Freeman, the most important story of the Astros
game. The longest
game.
Story.
The longest story I've ever seen was on the ESPN broadcast where a guy, at first I thought he caught the home run. Then when you watch the replays, he didn't catch it. It ricocheted off someone's face. And a guy ended up with, now I thought this is, I think this is actually kind of a younger kid. He had the look of.
He's a high school pitcher.
Yeah.
They won the state title.
I thought he was older at first. I thought the kid next to him was his son. I didn't know that was his little brother. And the guy next to him, like, okay, well, that's probably his dad, I guess. Then it turns out, wait a minute, this kid's not that old. Well, so anyway, if you didn't see this, ESPN figured out, you know, and I give him credit.
You couldn't have been
early on.
Watching the game if you didn't see it, because it was the whole game.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you didn't see this, you didn't watch a game.
Oh, my gosh.
At first, I thought, oh, okay, this is interesting. I wonder what's happening with this. They kept following it because it was J.J. Matijevic's. It was his first home run. It was his first hit.
Right.
It was a home run. Came up from the minors. He came into the game, had struck out four times in seven at-bats. Showed a lot of power in the minor leagues. He was their second-round pick in 2017, the Astros. He was DH. Jordan's out, but they got some good news on Jordan. We'll get to that in a second. So it was his first home run. So, you know, you want to get the home run ball back. And they recognized that on ESPN. And it was really cool seeing the reaction of the bench. They showed that how on the replay, how excited Altuve was. And who was it? Altuve and Bregman and one other player. They were super excited on the home run. Like, they were super pumped for the kid. He went opposite field, Crawford box, and as technology showed, that's the only stadium that would have been a home run in. But the guy who got the baseball, you know, Eduardo Perez started talking about, well, they're going to want to get that back, and he needs to negotiate for that. So ESPN, whoever the director was, continued to show, like, between pitches. It was a cutaway to this Ryland Freeman, his little brother, and his dad, the three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing went on, really, for almost the whole game, right, John? I mean, it was literally
the rest of the game. After the game, Berman interviewed him. McTaggart interviewed him. Everybody interviewed.
Well,
Ryland
they interviewed
Freeman.
Him because so the storyline on ESPN was, what is he going to get for this ball? And they started showing people from the Astros showing up and talking to him, and they were negotiating with him. And Eduardo Perez, like, you got to turn down the first deal. Turned down the first deal. And it was kind of interesting. I was like, I wonder what he is going to get for this. But it was literally between every pitch, it was a cutaway to Ryland Freeman. Cutaway, cutaway, cutaway. Next inning, cutaway, cutaway, cutaway. And then when they got the details, they showed him negotiating with somebody, I don't know, a lady who works for the team. He hands the ball over. So I was interested, and I wonder what he got for this. And they showed it, what he got for it, and they had a whole graphics printed up. But because ESPN was showing it so much, Berman's trying to find it. Like, usually if some guy gets a home run, Berman's not interviewing them. It became a story because of what ESPN did. He got what he got for this home run, for a rookie home run, first ever hit, first ever home run, was 6 tickets to an Astros game, 6 tickets pregame to the batting practice where you can be on the field, and a Jose Altuve autographed baseball. Now, what he asked for originally was an autographed Justin Verlander jersey, and he didn't get that initially. Then Justin Verlander kicks in the jersey and autographed it. Great catch, Justin Verlander.
Nice catch, yeah.
Nice catch. And so he got all that. That story continued playing out on ESPN. They showed the ball. There was a cameraman who had a picture of the ball as he's walking. It's just a close-up of the ball.
The ball.
And they're walking him through
being
the bowels.
Brought in to see Carl, who has been the equipment guy in the Astros locker room.
Carl couldn't have given a crap less about the
TV
stuff.
No, Carl didn't want any part of it. He looks the same as 30 years ago when I was in that locker room.
Does he really?
He was, oh my gosh, he's the same. I was like, oh my God, Carl. He
is.
Carl got on national television because of this.
And so it was. So then after the game, ESPN did whole features on him. They had pictures. Ryland Freeman. And it made me think. We'll get to the game in a second, but. Is ESPN, like, so CNN had a big thing where they got a new president who came in, and he's like, we're going to get back to news. We're getting off of all the opinion stuff. We're getting off of sensationalism. We're going to go back to old school CNN news. That's what we're getting back to. So there was a shift in ideology, right? Just recently I was reading about that. I'm wondering if ESPN, we know ESPN's morning shows are going to be the same thing that they're always going to be. But I was wondering, okay, I wonder if ESPN has had a discussion at the top about, hey, we need to make things more, you know, it needs to be storylines.
Yeah, right.
And things like that.
Well,
because human interest stuff.
Yeah, well,
because that was a huge, throughout the show and then throughout the game and then the post game, it was the human interest of Ryland Freeman.
And quite possibly,
and you know,
because baseball,
from.
Well, baseball needs some of that. It really does, because there's so much downtime.
Maybe
and
sports
and
needs some of that. Maybe that's what they're thinking is. But people like Wendy, your wife, who is in charge of ABC, they do have an opportunity to sit on the perch and say, hey, guys, I want to start covering things like this.
Oh, no, that's been the ideology for a while now. Julia Morales in the stands with the human, you know, to interviewing Pena's parents.
Oh, sure.
While he's up and he homers and all of those things. Yes, absolutely, and especially in baseball because of how slow and boring it is. But ESPN, I think, really
I've never seen anything like
he
that.
He really overdid it. But one of the best parts of the game came out when Jose Altuve is being interviewed during the game. We'll play with Jose
mic'd
Altuve.
Up?
Yeah, mic'd up. He was mic'd up. But this guy, Joe Seppi, did you see this tweet?
Giuseppe?
No, he's Joe Seppi. He tweets to John Boy. He puts a circle on the mic, and he says, hey, John Boy, what is this? And the replies is, if you're not following Joseph, I'm following Joseph now, S-E-P-P-I, Joe, S-E-P-P-I. It is hilarious, and the people are, so many stupid responses about, it's a mic, and you're an idiot, and all of this stuff, and he's coming back, and he says, oh, do you think ESPN? Yes, ESPN is in on it, too. And it's just hilarious. So if you haven't seen Joseph yet, but let's, Manischewitz. J.J. Manischewitz, after the game.
Manischewitz.
Yeah. I want to say Manischewitz. Remember the...
That's what Manischewitz, the wine.
The wine, yeah. Manischewitz. His first hit is a home run into the Crawford boxes. And he first thing he said on... He was like on Third Story on ESPN.
Yeah.
They went back to him and did an interview with him. And he talked about his dad. And his dad's going to get the ball. But here he is after the game about his home run.
You know, I just took it all in. I wasn't really thinking anything, but I looked up and, you know, see all the fans and stuff. I really took it in, and it was a special moment.
What was that like circling the bases? Was it a blur?
It was a blur. But once I hit second, you know, I knew what happened. And I looked up. You know, I just looked up and took it all in, saw all the fans, and, you know, it was special.
How much work just goes into that? I mean, you grinded a while for the minors and some setbacks.
Like I said earlier on ESPN, you know, this moment right here, you know, it's not just for me. It's for my family, my friends, my fiance. You know, I worked really hard for this moment, and, you know, I dedicate it to them. You know, I appreciate them so much for believing in me, supporting me, and, you know, it's just not all about me.
Is it extra special for your first major league hit to be a home run?
It is. It's very special. And it's really special to be on Father's Day. You know, it's for my dad and stuff like that. You know, it's a great moment.
JJ, your dad said he'd just gotten off of work, 24-hour shift,
yeah,
as a fire captain, right?
He got off at 8.
And he said he was screaming so loud the neighbors probably think he's crazy.
I can't imagine. I just hope that, you know, that he's proud of me, and that's all that really matters to me. You know, and I know he is, and I know he's smiling back home. And unfortunately, he couldn't be here, but I know he's watching, and I know he's smiling.
What a Father's Day gift. That, it doesn't get any better than that. Does not get any better than that when you're watching your kid play and your kid does something special, and then he dedicates it to you. That's just that nobody got a better Father's Day gift yesterday than J.J. Manischewitz's father.
Period! I didn't even realize, I'd forgotten actually, that he was a 2017 second round pick. You know, you come in, you're drafted in 17. The Astros have the incredible run. You know, after you're drafted, they get to the World Series. They win the World Series. And I'm sure your thoughts is, man, that's going to be me one day.
Yeah.
And then 18 goes by, and in 19, here's another World Series. And then you hit COVID.
Yep.
And he had that COVID year in 20, and then last year. And so... This has been, you know, it's probably been a longer road to the majors than he probably initially thought as a second-round pick.
Well, and it took quite a bit. It took Peña to get hurt.
Yeah, he's 26 years old now, too.
Yeah, it took quite a bit, but he was raking in the minors. He was really hitting. And but unfortunately, even still, if Peña doesn't get hurt, he's not up.
This may be a storyline where we talk more about Ryland Freeman in the future. Remember the Ryland Freeman game?
Oh, by the way.
Forget about J.J. Manischewitz.
By the way, during ESPN's interview, he said, I'm going to give the kid a bat, too.
Yeah, they were pushing him to give him a bat. He's like, I'll give him a bat. Yeah, no problem. Yeah. I'm like, that man already got tickets and
Altuve. Get what
look
you
at all
can.
That stuff.
This is America.
He didn't negotiate it. They're doing the negotiating for him. Like, that kid, he already had his chance.
No, that kid.
ESPN,
that kid
Shane,
deserves
Justin
everything
Verlander
he did. He gave up the ball. 7-14 ESPN. Oh, by the way, the Astros won the game. Took 2 out of 3. They get the day off today. Got the Mets coming in, and then they go to the Yankees and to the Mets. I had a little tete-a-tete with Jeremy Branham on Twitter this weekend.
Why do you always get into a Jeremy Branham?
Because Jeremy Branham needs to be more responsible than he was. And I'll tell you why.
Whoa.
Jeremy Branham, if you're going to be in the media, Jeremy, you're going to have to be a lot more responsible. Not as reckless as you were.
Don't tell me anything during the break. I want to hear this live on the air.
But you know what? Ryland Freeman doesn't have to buy seats from Simple Seats.
No, he's got tickets coming. The rest of you have to buy your seats. So where are you going to get your tickets from for Astros game? Wherever you're going to get it from, you're going to pay a fee. I mean, that's just how it goes. Here's your fee. It's one thing to see ticket prices and you think you're good on the ticket price front, and then you get your fees coming in at the on the back end, and it's so much more expensive than you thought it was going to be. At Simple Seats, you can go look up the prices in the exact rows and seat, or you can do zone seating. And what zone seating is they give you an area. It could be down the right field line, left field line, the outfield. It could be infield between first and third base, upper deck. You say zone seating, they give you the tickets, and then they give you a discounted rate. So you get to pick the zone, they pick the seats, and then you get discounted prices. So there's seats for everyone over at an Astros game, and they're going to help you find whatever is right for you, and you're going to pay less, a lot less. Use promo code Lance10 and get $10 off your first order of $50 or more at Simple Seats. Go to simpleseats.com and use promo code Lance10. They're the best seats, the best prices, with no fees. Simpleseats.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. 97.5. Godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 718 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Still ahead, we've got What Did You Learn This Weekend in One Sentence. That comes up at 7:45 every Monday. Think about what you learned this weekend. It doesn't matter what it was, but you learned something this weekend. Could be from your kids for Father's Day. Could be from your wife. Could be from your boss. Could be from anything. It doesn't matter. Could be from sports. What did you learn this weekend? I learned this weekend.
Oh,
well,
are you doing it already?
I learned this weekend that Jeremy Branham is reckless.
Okay. He's reckless.
Yeah, he's reckless. So the Astros scored 10 in one inning against the White Sox on Friday night.
Yeah.
And Jeremy tweeted this out. The Astros offense isn't good enough to get to another World Series. Signed sarcasm. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? Really? I said, wait, are you saying that one inning has changed what we've watched over the first 60-plus games? Or that they're not good enough? I'm confused. Nope. Here's what Jeremy said. I'm saying that they have a potential to score at a much higher rate. And a lot of the offensive stats point to a team that should be scoring a lot more than they have. I said that before today's game, too. And I said, in my opinion, you worded it poorly. As constructed, they're not good enough offensively to beat the Yankees in a 7-game series. They're just not. He says they'd be, okay, the Yankees would be favored in a 7-game series right now. But with JV and Fromber, whoever else, Tucker, Altuve couldn't squeak out 4 of the 7 from the Yankees. It's why Vegas odds are tight. And I said, that's not what you said. You overreacted to one inning. What we've been watching offensively is not even close to good enough to beat the Yankees. We saw the Braves react to needs last year at the deadline, and it won them a title. The Astros need to act in kind. And then they score 0 the next day. And Jeremy pulled back his tweet from the night before.
What do you mean he pulled it back?
Well, he said this was something to the effect. I can get it for you.
Well, that's the problem with the Astros. The one inning thing is an outlier.
No, listen.
I mean, 10 in an inning is an outlier.
Here's where I have a problem with Jeremy. You're in the media. Don't be tweeting out that everything is fine. All is well here. All is fine here. Uh-uh. You, the Astros, see stuff like that and go, oh, we're okay, we're okay.
Wait, no. Come on. You don't think James Click cares what
Twitter? I think this. Let's get away with as much as we possibly can and spend as little as we possibly can and see if we're okay.
Well, I think that is the Astros' way. I know that's not a popular sentiment. No one likes to be disrespectful to Jim Crane, but the fact is, I do think that's the case.
I do think that's the case, and I think that we need to keep putting the pressure on them to actually act and spend more money because the window is closing. If you need a center fielder by trade deadline, go get a damn center fielder. Mm-hmm. Now, Yuli's hitting a little bit better. You got to give him a little bit of ups. Maldonado's hitting a little bit better of late. You got to give him a little bit of props
Bregman
when they
has.
Are. Bregman's okay at times. You know, he's still not the number 3 hitter at third baseman. He's not what you need to win a World Series right now. No, but Yuli either. But Yuli, in this month, Yuli has hit better. Maldonado went on a tear for three games, and you know, and the world reacted. And oh, by the way, they looked much better. So, but you cannot go by one inning and say, "Oh, all is well. Let's move on here. Don't no more talk about the ass." What? What?
No this, way. This ass.
And by the way, I don't know if you've watched the Yankees. Did you see their game yesterday? The Yankees yesterday?
Yeah. Shootout.
They're up 8-3 over mm-hmm. Toronto. Toronto comes back and wins 10-9. Mm-hmm. You know what the Astros wouldn't have done in that situation? Won 10-9.
Not this year.
No, not this year.
Not this year. No. In years past, they could have done that. Well, you know, Breggy, in his last 20 games, I made a comment. Like, because Bregman has had some – he had a good at-bat yesterday. The first inning, he looked real comfortable. In the last 20 games, yeah, sure, he's hitting 188 with an OPS of 600. So his slugging is 275. So, yeah, that's not ideal in the last 20. It's actually technically the last 19 games, but – So I don't think that has. I think you're being too hard on Jeremy Branham. He has an opinion that this is a team who's been formerly like the same group of hitters has been good in the past. I'm sure his opinion is.
But no. But this is a big sample size now.
No, I'm with you. I think this is a problem. I'm not. But I get where he's coming from. He thinks they're still. You know.
Well, the next day he retweeted his own tweet and put Branham foot in mouth.
Yeah, but. Here's the thing. I don't think he has a responsibility to try to force the Astros
well,
to make
a trade.
Well,
I think it's irresponsible to say all is well. I don't think there's a responsibility,
he's
but I think
wrong.
It's irresponsible.
It's not irresponsible. He's just wrong.
It's irresponsible to not keep the foot on the pressure of the team.
They don't care.
On the throat
they
of the team.
They honestly don't care what any
baloney,
of y'all say.
They care about teams care about what the
Jim
public
Crane
opinion
and
is.
James Click and the Astros have never operated.
I got
as
a
team.
Call from the Astros about public opinion. Don't tell me they don't care.
But and you know what? And what was their feeling
they
about
said,
Branham?
Hey, we think you're wrong.
They also thought you were incorrect in what you
no,
were saying.
No, they did not. No, they did not. They did not like me putting out
and
there.
Were they right? Yes.
No, they weren't right.
Jeremy Pena over Carlos was
that
right.
That wasn't the story. It was that they didn't, that they ghosted him.
You're saying it's the perception.
They did not like
the perception
that perception.
Of the story. But what I'm talking about is actual moves. They're not making moves based on what you tweet, what I say. That's not their. They have never done it under Jim Crane. I have been part of some shows that have been very boisterous on the home broadcast network of the Astros. They don't care. And you know what? Good.
Well,
I've made some.
Back then, they had a. That was a different deal. They had a plan. Right now, you can't just go, it's okay. It's okay. It's not okay. This is the only good team we have. This is important that while this window is open, that you create a dynasty here. They've got one World Series title. They need to keep on going as hard as they can while JV is still here, while these guys are young, while they're getting unbelievable production from young players that they're not paying. They need to actually go for it with everything. And I'm serious. I really believe that a tweet like that is harmful.
Oh, I think
I
that's
do.
Too much. I don't.
I mean,
I honestly
it's not.
Don't
it's obviously it's not. It's not. Not going to sway. And, but you have to continue to put the pressure on this organization to be as good as they can possibly be.
I get it, but his tweet is not harmful. That's a strong word for like that's an opinion. His job is not to try to force. Do you think maybe Jeremy Branham doesn't have the opinion that they need to trade for anybody? Why do you want him to put something out there that he doesn't believe in?
No, he does. He tweeted back and said, no, I think they do need to add, yes.
But I don't know one move the Astros have ever made based on, I don't think the public sentiment matters to them one single bit about moves they make. They added Osuna. They don't care.
Well,
that was
going for it. Actually, it's the other way around.
That's
they were
saying.
Going for it as hard
when
as they could.
When they make a decision, they'll do what they want to do. They don't care what we say.
Yeah.
They care. They will fire managers. They will fire scouts. They will trade this guy. They will bring in that guy. I'm telling you, they are independent operators, which, by the way, I believe in. I don't believe that public sentiment is generally wrong, even though we all get caught up with it. The pay the man is a perfect example. They stuck by it and just said, we're not going to pay the man.
Yeah.
We're going Jeremy Pena. We're not paying the man. Y'all can have as many T-shirts as you want.
Listen, They would have paid Carlos. Listen, they would have paid Carlos Perez if he wasn't unreasonable.
That was extraordinary. Yes. But that's an example of that was extraordinary pressure from the public, and they didn't buckle one single bit.
But listen, my buddy was in the bathroom with Jim Crane. He said, "Dude, you're gonna take." He goes, "I got this. Don't worry." Jim Crane was planning on paying Carlos Correa, and then just said, "No, you know what? We're not doing."
Yeah, they're gonna pay him a number that's reasonable.
They were gonna pay him a number that was reasonable.
And they made
their
offer, and they made one offer.
Yeah, and then they stuck to it, and they didn't ease up on it. There's no question about it. No question about it. Don't think that they don't want the people to love the organization.
I'm sure
and
they
show
do,
up.
But they're not going to make decisions based on public sentiment. They'll only make decisions based on what they believe to be good baseball decisions.
Well,
not based on if the public will be happy.
But you have to continue to open their eyes to what is actually happening.
You don't think,
and it's not just okay,
John. They're an analytics base. They know all about. We don't have to open their eyes to anything. They have all the data. But they have data that Jeremy was referencing analytics data in his first tweet where he said indicators that they're actually due for, like baseball. They were talking about Bregman yesterday having indicators that show that he knows he's on the verge of breaking out, analytics data. The Astros know exactly what they're up against. There's no way they don't. They have to deal with it every day. They're not scoring runs.
But again, they're bleeding the division by double digits the whole season. They're just fine. They know they've been there. They've been to the World Series. Listen, it's a great organization. Great organization. But this year is – listen, this Yankees team is different. There's no question about
it. They're way behind the Yankees.
Oh, way behind the Yankees. So you know what you got to do? You gotta act on it.
They believe
but
in
they
Yuli.
They don't believe in that.
They believe in Yuli and Bregman. And you don't. You don't believe in Yuli. You don't believe in Bregman.
I don't know. That's an interesting statement right there. I'm not sure.
Do you
I'm not sure that Yuli is going to come through. When Yuli's at the plate, do you feel like that's the same Yuli?
It's an interesting statement because it's an accurate statement.
The
question is, if you believe in them, you're not making moves. If you don't believe in them, you're digging around.
Well, here's what you can do, though. Go get a center fielder.
That's an easy answer.
Well, the Braves did. The Braves got three outfielders last up.
No, not just because it's easy doesn't mean it's not right.
No. And not only that, you don't hurt any. You don't change the locker room. You don't do
right.
What you're doing is just adding. And you know what you got to do, Astros? You got to add.
Siri, McCormick, and a guy who's not even back in Myers, no one's feeling. First of all, if never ever run a team based on whose feelings get hurt. Never run a team like that.
And yet,
yeah, I know, and that bothers me about
and yet Machete and Yuli probably aren't going anywhere because of who they are in that locker room. We're going to take a break. 713-780. If you got
Yuli's
thoughts on
taking
this,
less for a long time.
If you've got thoughts on this, you're more than welcome to get in. 713-780-3776. And still ahead, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence? When we come back, the most important event of the world happened yesterday, and we still haven't touched on it. AO1 Roof, though, you can touch on that.
AO1 Roofing is the guy who runs the company. His name is Mark McGuire. He's not that Mark McGuire, but he's the Mark McGuire that I've actually known for years and years when he used to work for Damon over at Today's Satellite. And he splintered off and started doing his own thing with roof installations. And at AO1, here's the thing with AO1. They do such a terrific job of making sure that you are taken care of from a pricing standpoint, from the actual production itself that they, you know, that they get out there and do the actual roof itself. They don't cut corners ever. They never cut corners. They get out there with the decking the way it's supposed to be done, with the nails and the shingles. They don't cut the corners. A lot of companies do. And when you get a cut rate roof, you pay less, but you end up having to pay more when it comes time to repair that roof or replace the roof. It's going to cost you, and it can also cost you with internal, you know, damages because of the ceiling. I'm telling you right now, we've got hurricane weather that's coming up. It's extraordinarily hot right now. You know what that means to the Gulf? It's going to get – the Gulf is warm, and the hurricanes become more intense. Make sure that you have a good roof. And while supplies last, they're going to give you a 4,500-watt generator absolutely free while supplies last. 4,500-watt generator while supplies last. All you have to do is call AO1 Roof and get re-roofed at 713-715-ROOF. That's 713-715-ROOF.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
is not far down to paradise. At least it's not home.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Is there anything behind the Christopher Cross sailing?
Yeah, what are you doing that for?
I didn't know if there was hidden meaning at all. Okay. Because sometimes you'll go off of some meaning of the... Yeah.
Because there was no sailing yesterday at the U.S. Open at Brookline.
There was no clear sailing.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It was real good.
It was pretty good. Zalatoris gives me Eric Layden vibes a little bit.
Yeah, I can see that.
He gives me a little bit of Eric Layden vibes, just certain.
Yeah, Eric Layden could play him in the movie.
Yeah, Layden could play him.
Yeah.
Layden could play him.
So.
I expect him more out of Jon Rahm, honestly.
You expect him what?
More out of Jon Rahm.
Everybody did. Everybody did. No, Jon Rahm fell apart in the final round, and that's fine. 74, that's no good. You're not going to win a title that way. I was a little surprised. Going back, the two holes that killed Scheffler, 11, he tripled it and doubled. He doubled it and bogeyed it. He was 3 over on those, and he loses by 1. The last 2 days. So then he had a stretch. He had a stretch Saturday where he was 5 over in 6 holes. It was like watching us play. And he loses by 1. That's how good that guy is. But Matthews, it's a game of dude. It is so close. He hits it in the bunker on 18.
Can't believe he got up and down out of the bunker. Well, out and then 2 putt.
Yeah. He's 160 out.
He made a par.
He's 160 out. But if he is a foot to the right, he's screwed.
He's dead.
He can't. He's got to just hit out and then hit up.
But for him to get out from 160, sticking on the green in a very had a reasonable putt for birdie. I mean, relatively reasonable. But where it was going to be able to two putt it and go par and enforce, to stay out of bogey territory. What a great shot. Shot making that was, and that's winning the U.S. Open, though. He made shots to win it. A lot of times we've been seeing guys lately, and we saw it with the Masters, where people are kind of backing in, where it was a mistake fest at the Masters, and now it was U.S. Open. Here he is making a shot that wins it, and then Zalatoris just has, game of inches. I mean, he just about nails that putt. That was a really good run at it.
Everybody read it that it was going to drop right, and it just didn't drop right.
Not enough.
Because Scheffler had the same putt, almost the same putt as those two guys. He missed it left.
There was no live talk.
Fitzpatrick missed it left. Zalatoris missed it left. They all missed it left.
Did you hear the broadcast? I didn't hear any talk about Liv. I think that's probably on purpose too.
Well, none of the Liv guys were involved, so yeah.
No, but I mean, that's what I mean. Like, it didn't come up as a topic.
Well, that's a good thing because the match was so good.
Well, you don't want it to
come up. The tournament was so good. It was just, and I think Brooks Koepka was right. It's, it's a distraction from what was going on at the U.S. Open. That was a great, great tournament. And to see Matthew Fitzpatrick and his caddy, Billy Foster, who's been caddying forever and finally got a major. He was on the bags of the best players, European players ever. And he'd not gotten a major. So for him, and you see him kiss the flag afterwards, and just a great story. Just a great story. And it was just a fun tournament. Anybody wants to get in, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. Matthew Fitzpatrick has been on the verge for a while now of getting this, and he finally gets his first major. And what a way to get it. Well, that was a tough course. Holy crap. That fescue, you get in that stuff, you mishit it, and you're done. And just, again, a game of inches. He's a foot to the right, and he's got no shot. And quite possibly, it's a three-way tie for today, an 18-hole playoff with 3 players between him, Scheffler, and Zalatoris. So that would have been cool. But once he hit it on the green, Scheffler was eliminated. The only one that could have won was a miss and a make by Zalatoris, and Zalatoris missed his just left as well. Heartbreaking for him. Zalatoris is around in these majors now. You gotta watch this. This guy's going to win him a few majors. He's around at the toughest in the toughest tournaments and the toughest courses too. He's around, So got to give big ups to Zalatoris. That was fun. That was a good time had by all. 713-780-3776 if you'd like to get in here. And then yesterday as well, did your family watch the Texas A&M baseball game?
They actually did.
They did.
They did. And how my did, son Alec refused, who's going to Alabama, he refused, you know, he's got Texas in his heart. He's accepted Texas as his personal savior.
But I thought he was going to go to Texas A&M.
He was, but, you know, he's still Texas.
He long is?
Long. Yeah, now he's totally out on A&M.
Oh, yeah.
He got accepted by A&M. He went to
Yeah, I thought that was where he was going to go until you talked him out of that when telling him how much different it was going to cost him.
See, Texas A&M accepted him. Texas didn't.
Right.
Okay, so Texas is out. Texas is really hard to get into right now. And actually, A&M was tougher to get into this year. And then Alabama gave him a big scholarship.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I don't know, A&M, like, I'm just going to tell you this. I said, it's like, okay, it's like walking on at Clemson, but you have a full scholarship ride to Boston College or Syracuse or something like that. Like, who does that?
Yeah.
No, who does that? You go take the Power Five scholarship and you don't go walk on somewhere and pay your your way. So so he's gone to Alabama and he's gotta keep his grades up. But he was watching, he wanted to keep watching. It's 8-2. And I said, what are we doing? Let's turn to the US Open. I wanna watch it. He can come back. It's college baseball. I said, they're not coming back. The Aggies own you. Okay? Billy Lucci's there. He owns you. The Aggies own you. That's what it is. I'm sorry. And now everyone wants to know Longhorn Scott's going to call about this beating at the hands of the Aggies. Did the Aggies cheer SEC?
Is Longhorn Scott going to call us today to talk about this game yesterday?
I'll bet you fans chanted SEC at the game.
Well, did you see the pitcher who was doing horns down after the game when they were congratulating each other?
Classless.
No. That guy should
classless.
Is he going to get suspended for life? Is he going to get suspended with horns down?
People got in trouble for that.
What is the SEC? Now, the Big 12 reacted to horns down.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think the SEC is going to react to horns down? No. Hell no.
No, the SEC.
These people punch each other in the stands.
They're just going to say, get tougher.
Yeah.
Toughen up. It's going to be a lot worse for you than horns down.
Oh, my
God.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be a lot worse for you.
No. You got to go to Tuscaloosa and play. That's going to be a lot harder than your little horns down. If you're that sensitive that horns down hurts your feelings, when do you get to Tuscaloosa and see how that ass whooping is going
to
be?
It is weird that everybody, like, it'd be Iowa State versus Oklahoma State, and somebody in the stands is doing horns down. Like, what? This doesn't even make sense. How's horns down catching it in this Big 12 battle between two teams that don't even involve Texas?
No. It is definitely.
Or Oklahoma, when Oklahoma plays, I don't even know, does Oklahoma have a hand gesture or a hand sign? Because in games, you see horns down in their games.
Yeah, right.
I will say A&M's got saw varsity horns off. That's been going on forever. Oklahoma does horns down. Texas does get in some people's heads.
Oh, no, Texas is in their heads. There's no question.
Yeah.
There's no question. It's in their head. There's no question. All right, 713-780. Oh, yeah, it's a two-hole playoff now. I forgot. That's right. They changed. I wanted an 18-hole playoff between the three of them. That would have been totally sweet. Totally sweet. 713-780-3776 is the number. And here's the deal is what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Could it be that Matthew Fitzpatrick is money? It could be that your wife told you that she's, you know, messing with your brother. I don't know. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? It doesn't have to be sports. As a matter of fact, not sports related. It's just fun. And that's usually our best in this. 713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? You know what I learned? I learned this week. Of course, I learned this a long time ago. Coors Light is the world's most refreshing beer. I was refreshed this weekend. We went to see the boy in Florida, and I was plenty refreshed. I guarantee you that I was refreshed. I was keeping Florida chill. You need to keep Texas chill. Chill, baby, with Coors Light, with cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. It is the world's most refreshing beer. Did I have a few this weekend? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to admit it. I'm going to admit that we had a couple, 3 or 5 or 80. I don't know what the number was. I'm not putting a number. I'm not putting limitations on my Coors Light consumption. You can. I'm not about to. And quite frankly, I'd prefer you didn't either. If you're looking for the way to celebrate Father's Day, to keep Father's Day chill while you're grilling, chill while you're showering, chill while you're watching the games, chill while you're golfing, chill, all these chills. It's all a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
He's hitting you with these mellow gold bangers today, like Ambrosia.
Yeah, what's the deal? You are mellow today, huh?
Sometimes one of these days, don't hate on Ambrosia, please. Please don't hate on Ambrosia, John.
Did you do some... I don't know.
Mushrooms?
Some Quaaludes this weekend?
No, I don't do drugs.
Okay.
I
mean, you seem like, wow, man.
I did retweet. I retweeted something about Ambrosia. I had a comment about Ambrosia.
You did?
Ambrosia's a jam. The late 70s, early 80s, like Mellow Gold is... Now, there was
old, bro.
Now, there were some weird things going on. I'm going to do this live. I want you to look at this.
We're doing this. This is
segment. Oh, yeah, it's the other thing we do.
Okay, that's right. So what did you learn this weekend in one segment? In one sentence, excuse me. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? 713-780-37. It can be anything. It can be anything. Here's what I learned this weekend. Destin is really, really a cool place, but the traffic is almost as unbearable as Houston. That's all I'll say. That's it. Holy crap, people, fix this problem you got in Destin. 713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Jared is first up. Jared, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence?
In the case of the Longhorns, Aggies, you are the father.
All right, there it is. Jared, that's one sentence. Now, Jared got off. We got a... You are the father.
You are the father. He did a Maury Povich.
So as soon as somebody gets off, you can get in. 713-780-3776. If you're trying to get in and it's all busy, well, you got a spot right now. Mito. Hey, Mito. What'd you learn this weekend?
Hey. I learned that the Astros are cheap asses. They didn't want to give a guy a Verlander jersey or a Yuli jersey. They had to give him an Altuve ball. Cheap asses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's negotiating. It's boys.
It's a negotiation.
It's negotiations.
713-780-3776. Lenny, what did you learn this weekend?
I learned that if you have a janky old cable box in your front yard that is an eyesore and it says Warner Cable on it, you should probably still call Xfinity before you cut it and rip it out.
Okay. Okay. Well, he actually had he had some kind of an issue.
Is Warner Cable still out?
It's been gone for a long time.
Long time.
Yeah. So yeah, you ought to call somebody.
Yeah.
That stuff probably don't work.
That's probably not. Yeah. That's probably not working.
713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend? Was it something about your wife? Was it something about your kids that you learned this weekend? Tell the world. 713-780-3776. Ocho, what did you learn this weekend?
Yeah, I learned that if you negotiate hard enough for a foul ball, these major league teams will bend to your will.
Yeah, no.
Well, so it wasn't a foul ball. I mean, it was a home run. It was the guy's first hit, the first home run Matijevic. And so that, but also, I will say, that kid, Ryland Freeman, and his probably his dad as much as anything, they were like, they understood. They had the leverage on that. I would just crater. I don't know. I've always been like that. Like,
well,
if
they
here's
came
the
up
ball.
And said, well, what do you want? Well, wait a minute now. What do I want?
I'd say, oh, an autographed bat.
Yeah.
And, like,
but
really
they
won't
give up a bat.
I really
They're not giving up bats or jerseys. Maddie said, "I'll give him a bat."
And then Justin Verlander eventually gave it. But the autograph.
Well, soon as Verlander found out, see, they weren't going to go up to Justin and say, "Ask him." But as soon as Justin found out, he was like, "Yes, I'll give him a jersey."
When he saw the social media stuff and it was on ESPN in general. Justin. Yeah.
And hey, by the way,
there's a guy who caught a home run who wants you to autograph your jersey and give it to him. What are you talking about? It's for J.J. Mattingly. No, give him your ticket.
No, they weren't going to bother. No. You know what they don't do in that dugout?
They don't
want to
bother Justin Verlander. That dude didn't even make it to the seat. He didn't even make it to a game last year. You think they want to bother him?
Let's get Jeremy in here. Jeremy, what'd you learn this weekend?
Yeah, we know he got the jersey eventually. We get that, but the Astros...
I learned that on Father's Day, the dad usually has to grill for the entire family, and on Mother's Day, mom usually gets the day off.
That is true.
Two very different things.
Of course, mom does something every day.
You know what my wife wanted for Mother's Day, and she actually got it one year? Not to see any of us. She told us that. I don't want to see anybody. I want to go to karaoke at Trash Panda or Trash Can or whatever it was, Kung Fu Panda. I don't know what it was called. And then she got blotto on Mother's Day.
Well, good for her.
Friend dropped her off, just dumped her in the yard. Here we go. Well, happy Mother's Day. We see her all day. She said, you know what moms want? To not see anybody.
Dads still have to grill all day on Father's Day.
There's no choice.
You should have. Guess what? Jeremy, you're right.
There's no choice for us.
She should have said, no, I'll cook for you or I'll go get it. What do you want, honey?
I made pork chops. I made steak on Saturday. I made pork chops.
You made pork chops for Father's Day?
I make everything. The chicken.
But your wife should have cooked yesterday. It's Father's Day.
Did you just hear his call?
Yeah, no. That's wrong. My wife, no. What do you want, she says. And guess what?
I got nothing. Boop, 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 boop. Literally.
I love that. You want us to ask Verlander for a jersey? Did you see him pitch yesterday? You think we're asking Verlander for a jersey?
Hey, Justin, we know you got your ass rocked in the last start. But once he saw it was a social media thing and an ESPN.
No. Lazy J, what'd you learn this weekend?
What's going on, fellas? What I learned this weekend is you can fall in love with your swingers partner.
Which what partner?
With your swingers partner.
Oh, my God.
Yo.
That's what I thought he said.
That's what he said.
Is this what he's...
That's what he said. Well, that's a good... I think that's a good rule of law.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't be... No.
I mean, we're in summer school.
Now, see, because that destroys the swingers game, right? That's the fear for your wife is, oh, no, you're going to fall in love with your swingers partner.
Yeah. I don't know the rules of the game on that one. Let's call Freaky Deke. Freaky Deke's got
Freaky Deke never said anything about swinging. He just said about He's just said about side.
There's other stuff. Freaky Deaky's got other things.
Well,
Freaky Deaky has over the years had lots of.
I didn't know Lazy J had that much freaking.
I didn't know it either.
Right?
Didn't know it either.
That white guy, he is. That's something I didn't see coming. Actually, if you want to know the truth, did you learn anything this weekend?
See, I'm sure I did. I learned. What did I learn?
RJ, you learned. You came in pretty mellow today. You must have learned something this weekend, RJ.
I learned that Lakers social media, if there's like any rumor that's out, all of a sudden they're automatically on the team.
I tell you what, I learned to that point. I learned that my son Mason, if there's even a hint of a rumor about an NBA trade or anything like that, he is going to hit me with it all day, pepper me with it throughout the day. My son is so into the NBA right now, Mason. He's decided he's a Laker fan. He's like, I'm in. I'm Lakers. You know, he's doing this intentional.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. He's an intentional LeBron troll where LeBron's better than Jordan. He went and got a Laker hat. He's all in on the Lakers. He just got an autograph. He got a signed. It's not signed. It's a Kobe poster that he bought a frame, he bought the poster, and he's put it up in his room. He's inviting his friend Julius over to watch the draft on Thursday. So they're going to watch the draft together. So Julius, while my wife is out of town, I'm going to be watching the draft with them. Dad, here's the deal. the number four pick, the Kings, and the number four pick, and there's a deal on the table right now. Like, what do you think of that? I'm like, I don't know. I don't think anything about it. Let all this. Dad, serious question. If Giannis was to retire right now, where does he rank in the top 50? And I here's what I learned. I learned that my son's generation, like Gen Z, is all about everything is list. Everything is about top 10, top 15. Where does he rank? What number is he currently? And I said, look, I said, my generation, like, I care about when you're done, who are you? When you're done, why are you asking me about if somebody's a Hall of Famer right now if they got into a car wreck? I want to know when they're done. I'll tell you what I think of them when they're done. Because I've seen a lot of players who come up, like James Harden was trending in a certain direction, and this guy's just falling off a hill. And I still think James will go down as one of the three best scorers in NBA history. It may not sit well with people. I'm sorry if it hurts your feelings, but James Harden is going to go down as one of the three best scorers in NBA history. I mean, he is a phenomenal scorer.
Yeah.
That is outside the realm of what kind of basketball player you think he is. Every single stitch of data has him inside the top three, and many have him as the number one scorer of all time. It's not a pleasant experience for people to deal with who don't like James, and that's a lot of us.
Yeah.
But he's really good player. But that's just that's these little argument points. Like, my kids grow up and they watch clips of Skip and this and Shannon and Stephen A, and then they watch their Instagram and YouTube. There is a personal belief. Like, they watch videos of other 21-year-olds who have their own YouTube channels making more than we do, who their entire video will be like, Steph Curry is better than Magic Johnson, and the whole thing will say why Steph Curry is better than Magic Johnson.
Right, right.
Is John Morant headed on the way to being the greatest of all time? A whole video where they'll pull tiny little stats from here and extrapolate, and they all talk like this. When you see a player like Ja Morant in this cut and you look at his expected performance output per 36, and it's the most annoying videos of all time, and I have to listen to this all freaking day long as my kids go down rabbit holes of YouTube videos of is Chet Holmgren going to be the next KD or Ralph Sampson was the original Chet Holmgren and stuff like that. It's just, I don't know.
All right. Well, when we come back, I want to hear from Paolo Banchero. We've got some sound from Paolo Banchero, and we will hear.
We
got to
get Paolo on the air. Big Sarge from Twitter?
Yeah.
He just interviewed him. He had him on a Zoom, a video podcast. That might be where the sound comes from. Honestly, I don't know. Do we know where we got this from?
Where the sound came from?
I mean, if it came from Big Sarge's hustle, I want to give him credit.
Nah, it was Mark Berman. He was like on a Zoom call with the media.
That's the cut I saw. So maybe that's probably what it was.
Yeah. All right. So when we come back, we'll hear from some of that next. Paolo Banchero, please be there, Paolo. Please be there. We'll do that on the other side. But first, you, my friend, have got to talk a little bit about patios.
Yeah, Texas Custom Patios. We were out there a lot yesterday. Even though it's a billion degrees outside, my kids still love watching. I mean, they still love watching their Mr. Beast, and that's another one I got to tell John about. But my daughter will sit out there and watch Mr. Beast on YouTube, and Sebastian will watch his basketball conspiracy theory videos out there. I like watching games. But we love having the patio out there for grilling, for entertaining, just spending time out there as a family. The kids love watching television. They got the sound system that's embedded in the ceiling, so it's great. It's a pitched roof that's built onto the actual property itself, so it looks like it was built onto the house when it was initially constructed in the 60s, and yet it wasn't. That's how they make it look. It's got a great stone framework around that helps to kind of enclose the patio at the lower end of the outer portion. You got a fire pit there. Some people love to get fireplaces in there. You get huge outdoor kitchens, outdoor islands. Some people are doing standalone pool houses. No matter what you're looking for, Texas Custom Patios can do it for you. And they make it look better, more functional, and it truly adds unbelievable value because of how it beautifies your backyard. Go to texascustompatios.com texascustompatios.com today and take a look at all of their great before and after work. That's texascustompatios.com.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.